so much paralyzing terror as in this hair-raising orgy of sadness.
The mouth of the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
Hello and welcome to episode 940 of Dread Media. I'm your host, Desmond Reddick, back with you for another great episode. And I'm going to let you know all about what we've got coming up this week, right after I tell you that we're proud to be sponsored by you. More specifically, the patron Dreadites. Patreon.com/Dread Media is the best way to support the show and keep it going in perpetuity. Patreon.com/Dread Media. For as little as a dollar a month. Check it out. It's Wednesday night as I record this, so they're going to get, they're going to get this week's episode 5 days early. Patreon.com/Dread Media. Other perks over there. Check it out. Check it out. And yeah, this week, Dwayne and I are covering a really sort of unique film with sort of a really interesting feel, and it's called Tropic. I think I'll refrain from any further discussion of it until I let Dwayne and I talk about it in our review. But then I'm going to come back and do a Dread Media top five movies that have similar vibes to Tropic. Sometimes I do that. And I thought this would be an interesting one to do that on, considering it is sort of so unique, and I see so many other parts of other films in it as well, which is interesting. So, yeah, so that's what I'm doing. On top of that, this week we are... Now, this happened before last week's episode came out, but again, I had last week's episode done 5 days early. So there was zero discussion or tribute to Brent Hinds, formerly of Mastodon. I first heard Mastodon on, I think it was a Metal Hammer magazine CD. I think so. And it was a song that would eventually be on the record, Remission, March of the Fire Ants. And I was like, shit, this is good stuff. I like these guys. But it wasn't until Leviathan came out when my whole world was changed. And Mastodon immediately became one of my favorite bands, and is still one of my favorite bands. And I think what I liked most about Brent Hinds is what sort of fueled his exit from the band is that he wasn't a heavy metal guy. He was a guy who played like chicken picking, fuzz driven country guitar solos over heavy metal songs, but also wrote and sang in some pretty incredible progressive metal songs. And known as one of the three vocalists of Mastodon, Brent Hinds' contribution vocally seemed to be less and less as the band continued on. I know that, you know, he certainly had his issues with at least booze. I know that he was kicked out of the Grammys for being drunk. But also, yeah, and it led to some, some poisoned relationships, I should say, with, you know, the four-way brotherhood that is the 25-year relationship of the Mastodon guys. And, so I'm just kind of heartbroken, but not so much, you know, it's not so much that he's gone. It's that I truly did believe that after, I don't know, 2 years, 5 years, maybe 10 years, cooler heads would have eventually prevailed. And, you know, maybe Brent would have come back to Mastodon. And I think that would have been a beautiful thing, but that's not going to happen anymore. My heart goes out to those, who knew and loved Brent. And to, everyone in the Mastodon camp. I saw Brent perform once, so that was good. It was awesome, actually. They opened for, Slayer and Slipknot and blew them both off the stage, in my opinion. But yeah, so other than the song I'm going to play after Tropic, which was chosen, it seems like 2 months ago at this point. Other than the song I'm going to play after that review with Dwayne, the other three songs this week are tributes to Brent Hinds, and I think it's very fitting, seeing as he was a very eclectic player and had very eclectic taste. It's very fitting that I play a song from three separate projects that Brent Hind was a part of to pay tribute to him. So when we get into the rest of this episode, that's what we're going to be doing. In the meantime, I'm going to play the first of those songs, and before we get to the review of Tropic. And this song is called Capillarian Crest. Brent Hinds sings on many Mastodon songs, but there's very few that he sings entirely on his own, and this is one of them. From their, in my opinion, from their masterpiece, Blood Mountain. They have a couple masterpieces. Leviathan's another. But from their masterpiece, Blood Mountain, this is Mastodon with Capillarian Crest. R.I.P. Brent Hinds.
Yeah. Hey.
How's it going?
It's going okay. It's going okay.
You doing your astronaut exercises?
Yeah. Yeah. I was staying underwater in the bathtub as long as I could. I just ran around the house a couple times outside.
Nice.
I was kind of limited on that one because then a number of neighborhood pets started giving chase.
Oh dear.
And it wasn't like a dangerous thing. It was just kind of weird.
I get it.
Yeah. Cats, dogs. I think somebody has a pet skunk maybe. And then I was doing like handstands and, like trying to remember colors and number sequences and stuff. And then, kind of doing some, I don't know, physics homework and stuff, probably about gravity and stuff. So, I'm going to give it a shot. My dream ever since I saw the movie Space Camp. Dream a dream. But,
that movie touched a lot of lives, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah. And, you know, I think when it comes to our hopes and dreams that the sky's the limit. So actually beyond the skies, but with the atmosphere.
Wow.
Whatever it's called, stratosphere. Beyond that, ionosphere.
That's uplifting.
The ozone layer. Yeah, I think that's what it's like. Yeah.
Just like Katy Perry and Gayle King.
Right. How long does that trip even take? Was it like 10 minutes or something?
I believe it was 11 minutes. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Whatever. Anyway.
But that, there's no way that money could have gone to better use, Dwayne. Don't be ridiculous. Even as a PR stunt, that money could have just donated the money to charity and people been like, wow, that's a great thing that Katy Perry did. And yet everyone's like, what a fucking idiot. can Katy Perry name any of like the atmosphere surrounding Earth? I don't know.
They should have, like, I don't know, sent her to, like, visit one of those special, like, prisons somewhere.
Yeah, and, there you
go. You know, put a little bit of life into some lives.
I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, this is part two of today's exploration in what the hell is wrong with the French.
Yeah.
I slightly kid. But I'm not going to make them a double feature.
No.
Specifically because, unless this is a really short review, because the other one was long, but Dwayne and I watched Tropic. Dwayne, are you going to describe this or should I?
Well, I think I'm going to let you do it. Yeah.
Okay. So Tropic is pretty new film, 2022. It's out on Shudder. Directed by Edouard Salier. Mm-hmm. And it is, I guess, set in France.
I think so.
But it's sort of like an international school that they're at, right?
Yeah,
I feel like some people speak English, some people speak Russian, right?
Yeah. I think they even call it like a European Space Force or something.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of a,
Yeah, so it's basically, it's not Russian. Maybe they're Ukrainian or something. But yeah, so it's like, not Russia, not America. It's the Ukraine or the European Space Force. And these twins, are going through these trials, you know, like sitting on the bottom of a pool for 6 minutes or whatever. And one brother is excelling. The other brother is barely making it kind of thing. And then, I guess so he's trying to help his brother. Like hold his breath, I guess. So they go out to like a pond and while they're there, something crashes and, one of the brothers touches the thing or hits him. I can't even remember. Does he touch it?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
I can't really remember. At one point, they're like trying to hold their breath under the water of this pond, and another this like green shit's fallen from the sky.
I'm not even sure they showed it actually. Like showed. Exactly.
I'm not sure either. Yeah, actually, maybe that's why I'm confused about it. Anyway, basically, the brother who gets contaminated begins to mutate, And I'm just going to read the subject line of the featured review on IMDb, and that is, "The Right Stuff Enters David Cronenberg's World." And I think that's a pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty good way of saying it.
Yeah, pretty much, I think. Yeah.
So, yeah, like, what did you think of Tropic?
Good question. So, yeah, like, I was the one, I think, again, who, like, kind of picked this one out, and I just thought, you know, I just want to kind of change things up a little bit with maybe a little bit of sci-fi and that.
Yeah.
And,
I like some good dark sci-fi.
Yeah, like, to me, like, this is just my opinion, but I mean, sci-fi should be kind of dark, like, in that I guess it's because of the way my mind works, but it's just, sure, like, everything seems to always just go shitty. Like, whether it's whatever's the experiment or the technology involved, or rather than, you know, or its effect on people and the humans, the environment, whatever. But, so either way, it's usually some kind of, like, pro and con situation. I don't know. This movie's a little, I'm not saying it's confusing, because it's actually fairly simple, but it's, I don't know. It's a tough one to make something of it. So, yeah, basically you have the two brothers, right? Like, Lazaro and Tristan. And Tristan was the guy who was, like, kind of the head of the, or pretty much close to the head of the class kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then Lazaro was, like, the one who was kind of lagging behind. But, of course, Tristan is the one who actually gets affected by the space, whatever it is, dust or whatever.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then he's the one who, like, mutates and all that, while his brother doesn't. So then it kind of creates this kind of complex, you know, family or situation where basically, on the one hand, you know, one of the twins still wants to go to space. The other one kind of can't because he's not only just mutated, but, like, yeah, he's like, I'm sure he's even partially blind and deaf and, you know, really, really messed up. It's not just cosmetic.
Also, like, brain damaged as well, I think.
Yeah.
They use the R word.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Maybe it's not as bad in French.
No. But it's kind of a thing where you know, even though you had these two kids that are, like, you know, like, top or very, like, high achievers, you know, like, ridiculous physical fitness, all that kind of stuff. Then they, of course, their mom, you know, is kind of faces the situation there where she's, like, you know, now she's probably going to have to take care of Tristan for the rest of his life because of his condition.
Right.
And
yeah, she went from...
It's like sudden, right? Like, it's like overnight. Like, it's not like a, you know, like a lifelong thing that you...
Yeah. Yeah, like it went for, like, one day it went from her expecting both of her sons to go to space and leave her, like, maybe for, I guess, forever, right?
I think it is.
Like,
yeah,
we didn't say this because they specifically say we are trying to beat the Americans and the Russians. So yeah, you are being trained as the youngest astronauts possible. Like, I believe they're in high school here.
I think so too, because I believe that she'd be, like, under 40, I'd say.
Right.
Sure.
And then there's there's, like, another high school where, like, you know, like, they bring a girl home. One of them,
yes.
Tristan is, like, the, you know, the better, fitter, better looking brother who eventually gets mutated.
Yeah.
But he brings a girl home, and the mother's like, oh, are you from the whatever space school too? And she's like, no, I go to the school beside it. And she's like, oh, well, you're like me. Like, you're a dumb person like me, right? That's kind of like what they say. Like, I believe they call it the dummy school at one point in the movie. So
yeah.
I feel like it's high school or maybe just like college, but they're pretty young.
Yeah, like maybe I wonder if they do like special things, like maybe like not astronaut tasks, but like, I don't know, maybe like they just calculate trajectories of this or that, or like, you know, some kind of a real specific.
Well, they're even discussing like philosophy at one point, right? There are philosophy classes. I think it's just like they're taking like very high level classes because they're geniuses and being trained to be astronauts. I think, I don't know. But, so like, because they're training for these space missions that are going to go farther than ever before, and therefore you need to be young because you need to be alive while you're on this mission kind of thing. So
right.
I think it is sort of like she's preparing to have an empty nest for, you know, for like a bit of a sadness of her own, but also like she's on dating apps and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
like, yeah, you kind of get like, there's this weird heartbreak because all of a sudden one of her sons is going to need to be taken care of for the rest of his life, however long that is. Cause you know, it doesn't look good. I mean, he looks like someone from the orgy in Society, basically. After he's, you know, mutated.
Yeah, it's pretty good call there. Yeah.
Otherwise, though, I think this film's like quite grim. And I know what you mean, when you say confusing, but not because there's like too much going on. You know, it's like a quiet confusion this movie has.
Yeah.
Like you're like, where is it going to go? And I think maybe it's just, I think maybe it sets up something that doesn't really pay off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, on the one hand, like, I didn't think, just because of the general tone of the movie, like, I didn't think there was necessarily going to be a, you know, a scene like where Tristan, you know, like, I don't know, grows 60 feet tall and, like, starts knocking down buildings or anything like right. that. Like, I didn't think it was ever going to go quite there. But at the same time, it remains kind of low key for like basically the whole movie, really. I mean,
yeah. So, like here's an issue with it. Like Lazaro never goes to space.
Yeah.
Like the movie ends. So like it didn't need to be like, they didn't need to be astronauts.
No. No.
They could have been gifted kids at a smart school. Didn't even need to be that. Like,
yeah.
Because something just falls from the sky and then all of a sudden someone's mutated. So,
yeah.
Like, without the training for astronauts thing, what is this movie? What does this movie have?
That's actually, yeah, that is something I'd kind of thought about, like, even before the movie is over, like, just, you know, maybe, I don't know, halfway through or so. Whereas you're kind of like, on the one hand, like, it has the kind of sci-fi hook, like, with the view, like, the visual of the mutations. Which I actually don't really have a problem with because I don't mind the idea at all of like kind of having a visual representation of something has changed amongst these two twins.
Right.
And now they're kind of like, I don't mind that kind of visual language. But at the same time, yeah, when you get to the actual astronaut stuff, I'm like, is this just some kind of like astronaut propaganda or like, is this, cause I mean, obviously they have to have some access to some kind of, like, I can't just be like, CGI and stuff, right? Like, they must have been at some kind of real facility of some sort, I think, maybe.
Right, right.
Like I don't know if this is actually, like, tying into some sort of, like, you know, proposed space program or, like, it's, like, if people supposed to be, like, if us as viewers are supposed to be excited about that or something, like, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, it's one thing to say, like, yeah, like, it's one thing to give them a mission, hey, they're going to go into space, both of them want to be astronauts. Okay, that's great. But yeah, like I don't really understand that part of it, like in terms of what the real appeal is, or like both to me as like a viewer and also, yeah, it's not really even that necessary to the story. I don't know. Yeah. Very weird. Well,
so here's something funny. I mean, the movie's called Tropic.
Right.
In other titles unrelated to their film news, it's also known as Things Behind the Stars, which is also a misleading title, unless they're just talking about the thing that came from beyond the stars. Again, a better title, but yeah, it's weird because for this movie that's so dedicated to training. So the thing about the right stuff actually ends with them going to space.
Right, because all of it before then is the... Yeah.
Right. Right. This movie doesn't end with them going to space. This is all just about training astronauts, which, I mean, I guess has its own interest, but, like, what... Sorry, astronauts, but you're not very interesting if you're not going to space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so it's just really weird to get this, because it is, again... Called it a science fiction movie, and honestly, I think it's like tenuously a science fiction movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because it could have been, it could have been a mutated rat or something that bit him in the pond and mutated him. You know what I mean? It's like, It didn't have to be something that came from space, because they don't investigate it. Right? Like, it's just,
yeah,
it just,
you're right. They don't really even, yeah.
Like,
talk
the,
about it.
The men in black don't come out. Like, you know, there's nobody like in hazmat suits collecting shit.
Yeah.
Right? Did I miss any of that? I don't think that happens.
You're right. Like, it's only just near the end. There's, when he's going to like, when, not Tristan, yeah, Lazaro, like, he's kind of like, just going somewhere, like, as an astronaut, like, on the ground. And then, like, it looks like there's some perimeter guards that kind of look like they have, like, gas masks or something on. But I don't know. Like, so, I don't know, though. They don't really say anything, though. It's just the way
yeah. it
is. Maybe it's just to cover up the fact that it's, like, the director or something as of an extra. You know, I don't know.
Right.
So, yeah, but yeah, like, it has no, I don't know. Like, yeah, there's just no point to, you know, anything, like, in terms of, like, the alien nature of what happens. I don't know, like, it's, like, you know, when you have, like, a movie that's not, like, well, I guess one way you could portray something like, say, like, The Color Out of Space, right, is basically, yeah. you don't even have to have anything other than suddenly shit's weird on a farm. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, you could say maybe it came from space, but the part that's not really as important as just, like, the ground or the food's, you know, being mutated or whatever, like all these kind of bad things and the effects on the humans. But like in this case, it's not even really even about that other than just the one guy who gets affected. It's not like it's about like, you know, like some kind of space plague or any kind of like, certainly not any kind of like Lovecraftian old ones behind things or anything like that at all. It's just dude gets messed up. Technically, he could have had like a motorcycle crash or something probably, and he could have had a similar movie, but,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's weird. It's like, I don't know if it was trying to, like, fulfill, like, it's like they have a story, but then they're trying to, like, fulfill some other kind of obligation, like, whether it's, like, you know, a mutated kind of person they can use in publicity stills, or, I don't know, lots of astronaut training montages for people who love that shit. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's funny.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Like, I'm looking at one of these reviews. One of these reviews, likens it, bearing more than a distant resemblance to Gattaca.
Right, which I don't remember if I've seen, because
yeah, like, I'm not sure I've ever seen Gattaca, but I thought that was about, like choosing your kid's genes.
Yeah, I thought it was too, yeah.
Yeah,
like some sort of genetic engineering or.
Yeah, and like Ethan Hawke is supposed to be like yeah. a genetic inferior guy who's like risen to a higher level through fraud or something. That's what I thought Gattaca was about.
Yeah, I feel like what it is about. So then yeah. if that's the case, that's not really applicable here. Awesome.
Yeah, weird. Okay, yeah, okay. So I thought that too. And then it says, what it does say is, blah, 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 blah. Hold on. All that concerns the military project is credible, semi-doc, and absorbing. And I kind of agree with that. Like, I was intrigued with the training stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can watch people holding their breath underwater for a long time and find it compelling. You know? And I guess, like, that, like, drawing in, like, the comparison to the Wright stuff, that's an absorbing film as well. But, like, it really does just sort of go off the rails.
Yeah. I don't know if it was trying to be, like, one thing and then kind of required to be something else, too. I don't know. Like, that wasn't part of the original plan, or I don't know.
Yeah. It's almost like the better movie is just the story about these two brothers and only one of them is going to win.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what I thought it was going to be more like. Like, I, you know, I knew, I think just in the, even on Shudder, like, you know, just it says something about a contaminated by a mysterious residue from space. Okay. But yeah, like, I thought it was going to be a little more like, I don't know, like personality driven or something, like a little more talking back and forth and like, I don't know.
And there is that in the beginning of the film.
Yeah, 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 there is. And, if anything, I would say like a lot of the film after the guy starts to mutate is like marked by people not talking about much. Like you almost have to kind of like just watch it as opposed to like, you know, expect very much conversation from people except for like maybe the mom. But right. like everybody else, it just, you just kind of have to watch it and see like what is, like what are these people's place in this organization? Like, how are they getting along? I don't know. Is there guilt here? Is there jealousy here? I don't know. But it's, I don't know. I almost kind of would like a little bit more talking and
yeah. That's where the conflict in this movie starts off. You know, there's two brothers. It's like, so like two people are going to win. Is that what's going to happen here?
Yeah, two people.
And it's basically between Tristan and another guy in class. And then yeah, Lazaro.
I think is his name. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And Lazaro has to you know, like work harder to try and, you know, beat the guy who's second in class, who's also like maybe beating Tristan as well. So like that's all this real tension, you know, and conflict. And it's like, okay, all right, I'm invested. And then all of a sudden the brother gets mutated and that conflict is completely gone. But that's like, would you say halfway through the movie?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Roundabout there. Yeah. So yeah, when the conflict of your film is kneecapped halfway through the movie and turned into something else, I think, you know, it's possible to do that well, but it's got to be real. I don't know. It's got to be clever, you know, because otherwise you just have two movies that feel like they're slapped together. And that's kind of what this is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's actually kind of really, you know, kind of, I think that's kind of nailing it down, actually, as to
And they don't work well together. No. You know what I mean? Like they're at cross purposes. There's two really good ideas for different movies here, but they don't work well together, in my opinion.
No.
But again, puzzling. Then, like I spent a lot of this movie like, what are we doing here? It's so like this is like super quiet and introspective and all that as well. So you're not getting a lot of information. You're not getting a lot of plot movement. You're getting a lot of brooding, again, which can be done well. But I just think this movie's a little aimless.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
And again, that's basically the same thing as the other French film that we've talked about today.
Exactly.
Just like there's no focus to this movie. Yeah, it's really, really strange. Yeah, two French movies 50 something years apart. And they're both picking up on the same theme here as far as reviewing the film. Is there anything else to say about Tropic? I like the makeup of the mutation.
Yeah. Yeah,
like so they do the makeup of the mutation and then they put like the Phantom of the Opera mask on him so the brother can go back to I guess the brother goes to the other school, like the dummy school now. Is that
Yeah, right.
And then
they're even gonna ship off to somewhere else. It's more like a group home, I guess
right,
you would say.
Right. Like, yeah. But like Lazaro, they still meets him where everybody meets from the other school in the special school or whatever. But yeah, it just goes off the rails and becomes something else, but it doesn't carry the beginning of the movie had some gravitas and it had, it had the vibes of almost like a 90s serious teen drama, you know, like Dead Poets Society or something, you know, like, I don't know, people are trying to, they have to do well in this class and that's like the main thrust of the conflict in the movie. And there's somebody who's better than them, right? Like these are movies that have been made for almost like 100 years at this point. So it's very recognizable conflict and stuff. And then you can thread your story through that. But this movie just, I don't know, it's almost like it breaks it in half and tries to reassemble it with other things. And it just never really, I don't know. Maybe it did reach its potential for the director, but it didn't for me.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, it's still an interesting watch.
Yeah.
Now, would I recommend it? No, probably not. But I think I'd probably give it a 2.5. It's not gonna, you know, it might be puzzling. You might get a hell of a lot more from it than I did. And Dwayne, as it sounds like Dwayne too.
Yeah, no, I, yeah, if you do, then
Write in.
But let us know. Put something on our social media. But
I'll read your email on the air. Or post on the one of the many threads where I post the show. But I'm a little puzzled by this one.
Yeah. So unless I'm being really missing something, I'm gonna go 3.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Trois, yes. I'm going to get us out of here with a song by Arwake. I don't know. What is Arwake? Arwake? I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. Arwake is, they're like a thrashy, is there a hardcore there? I'm not sure. Also some sludgy stuff. What are they? American sludge metal band, Arwake. Arwake. I've never really listened to their stuff before, but their brand new record from Relapse is out. It's called The Return of Magic. I think I've already played a song from this on this podcast already, but I'm going to play another because I'm digging this record. This is the opening track, and I thought it was sort of apropos to like the boys or the brothers to each other and, you know, maybe the brothers to the mother. This is You Swore We'd Always Be Together by Arwake. Merci, Dwayne.
I can't remember what your welcome is.
Bienvenue? Or I think, oh, no, maybe not. No, that's more like welcome to my home. You could say de nada. Oh, that's not French. You could say de rien. That's what I meant to say. De rien means it's nothing.
Yeah. Ah, de rien.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what actually your welcome is in French, and I can't remember. Hey, I only had like 7 years of education in it. Not like I should know that. Anyway, all right, here it is. All right, and we're back with another
Dread Media Top 5.
That's right, another Dread Media Top 5. This time, we're doing Dread Media Top 5 films with similar vibes to Tropic. And I think what sort of stands out about Tropic is how odd it was, you know, and how it was such an outlier in even, like, serious sci-fi. But, you know, talk about it like an oddball director. I'm talking about Larry Cohen. And number five is going to be, you know, maybe like the oddball picture of Larry Cohen's oddball career. And it's the 1978 film God Told Me To. It's a little plodding. It's a little dour. But it also has some psychedelia, even though this one is more like religious-induced psychedelia. But God Told Me To by Larry Cohen is rad, and it's my number five. My number four is a movie that I think was probably a little unfairly beaten up. I thought it was kind of an interesting exercise, an interesting way of taking a second-tier brand of a franchise and hitting on some classic elements, but also doing something completely sort of new amongst comic book movies. I'm talking about Josh Boone's 2020 picture, The New Mutants, which, you know, focuses on a strange class of elite superpowered students who are being observed, who are being tested, who are being, psychologically, assaulted. And yeah, I don't know. I thought it was pretty fun. And Anya Taylor-Joy as Magic would be fun going forward. But, yeah, I think The New Mutants, got a bit of a bad rap. So it's my number four. My number three, speaking about a weird class of kids, I'm talking about the 2016, yes, it's a zombie film, sort of, yeah, it's a zombie film, based on, I believe it's based on the novel by Mike Carey. Speaking of X-Men, he also wrote X-Men comics, I mean. But I'm talking about The Girl with All the Gifts. And it's sort of post-apocalyptic zombies. They have to find this girl because she is the key to everything in this zombified world. The Girl with All the Gifts is very heartfelt. It's got some amazing imagery, some stark and sort of brutal kind of nihilism. Some really great performances. You can see it on Tubi and Plex. Number two, I'm reordering things. Number two, again, like, this is a film that I guess we've sort of covered relatively recently, and I thought about a lot of other films that I've covered relatively recently that could also make this top five. Like, some of the Fly films, for example, or Spontaneous Combustion from last week has a similar vibe. But I'm going to go with the one that takes psychedelia to the absolute next and perhaps final level as far as cinema is concerned. I'm talking about the incredible Ken Russell film Altered States. Truly and absolutely fascinating and really fun filmmaking. So check it out. Really great. It's got to be Ken Russell's best. Anyway, and that leads me to my number one. I think it's the film that you could probably most closely say reminds you of Tropic, and it's a much more bold-faced version of that. However, I think like the premise and the effects make it a really interesting sort of double feature to Tropic. And I'm talking about the 1977 film The Incredible Melting Man. A guy goes up into space and gets like cosmic radiation or whatever. And unlike the Fantastic Four, he just begins to melt. Also on Tubi. Highly recommend checking that shit out because that's really cool. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here and we'll come back and say goodbye afterwards, but we'll get out of here right now after this Dread Media Top 5 with another song from the late great Brent Hinds. This time it's going to be a track from the self-titled record of his side project with Danny Carey, the drummer of Tool, Legend of the Seagull Men. Brent does some vocals, I think, in this band, but mostly just guitar, and I think he writes all, if not, you know, most, if not all of it. But Legend of the Seagull Men is really sort of fun, weird, thematic stuff. Reminds me a lot of Oysterhead? Yeah, Oysterhead, that Les Claypool, Stuart Copeland... is it Trey Anastasio side project Oysterhead? I think that's what it's called, right? Yeah. Anyway, sort of like a similar vibe to that. Less squonky on the bass, obviously. But yeah, here's from that self-titled record, Legend of the Seagull Men. Here's their song, Ship's Wreck by Legend of the Seagull Men. We'll be right back. And that is us, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode as much as I did putting it together for you. If you did, you can let me know. Also, you can send questions for the Q&A episode to dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. There's also a thread in the Facebook group, Dread Media. That's all it is on Facebook. There's a thread there for questions for the Ask Me Anything episode. And I'm also at Dread Media on Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky. You can find me on all those. And of course, patreon.com/dreadmedia is the best way to support the show. Thank you to everyone who does. Now, I guess it's about time to get the hell out of here. I hope you guys have a good week. An even better weekend. And I guess, yeah, this is the first week of school for me. So, yeah, dial in. There will definitely be an episode next week. Guaranteed. Okay. All right. You guys take care of yourselves. Take care of others. We'll see you next week. And until then, we're going to listen to another song from a Brent Hinds project. This is his own baby band that he created. He is the lead singer and lead guitar player of Fiend Without a Face. And this is the appropriate song, Bringing On the Heartache. R.I.P. Brent Hinds. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye now.